You've heard us talk about it, and it's finally here. If you're a fan of the show, you'll love our new book, Death by Umbrella, The 100 Weirdest Horror Movie Weapons. It's a fun romp through some of our favorite kills and our favorite weapons, and even has a foreword written by our buddy Lloyd Kaufman from Troma Entertainment. You can pick it up at Amazon, Bear Manor Media, that's Bear as in the animal, and in the UK at Hemlock Books. Thanks a lot for listening.
Top of the news this evening is speculation concerning the real facts behind a Department of Health announcement about a radioactive spill supposed to have occurred yesterday at the state nuclear plant.
I know what you're thinking. Mine's bigger than yours, right? Isn't that fair? Throw it away. All right? All right!
Tell me. Tell me about Disneyland.
They got tons of popcorn there.
Yeah.
And all you gotta do is go climb a tree to go eat it.
It was a night like any other night. Then something happened.
Oh, good Lord. It's unbelievable. It's horrible.
Hey, wait, there's something weird here.
Welcome to the Really Awful Movies Podcast, a celebration of low-budget cinema.
The sleep of reason gives birth to monsters.
Hi, my name's Chris, and along with Jeff, we're bringing you the very best and worst of horror, sci-fi, post-apocalyptic wasteland, kung fu, women in prison movies from the 1960s to today. Check us out at reallyawfulmovies.com, part of the Crypt TV family. Welcome to Crap of the Week.
Sweet, merciful crap!
That was the biggest load of crap I've ever heard!
Ah, crap!
From downtown Toronto headquarters, here's episode 97, Crap of the Week. This is the segment where we talk about films that we happen to come across that we, you know, maybe from the bowels of YouTube or Netflix or from our favorite Toronto video store haunt, Suspect Video.
Mm-hmm.
Usually a movie one of us has seen and the other hasn't. Sometimes we've both seen it, not necessarily. So here we go. Crap of the Week. What have you got for me?
Okay, well, I'm going to start by saying that one of my favorite sci-fi stories is the story written by A.T. Wells in 1896, The Island of Dr. Moreau. I really love that story. Now, this tale was adapted for film a number of times. In 1932, there was a film called Island of Lost Souls, which is brilliant, starring Charles Laughton and Bela Lugosi. In 1977, they made a film called Island of Dr. Moreau with Burt Lancaster and Michael York. But, of course, the most notorious of them all would be the 1996 Island of Dr. Moreau, starring Marlon Brando, Val Kilmer, that little weird sort of, Spanish guy who was like a mini-me of, oh, God, man. I mean, and this was directed by John Frankenheimer, right? But, I mean, really, it should have been directed by Richard Stanley. There's this incredible documentary called Lost Soul, The Doomed Journey of Richard Stanley's Island of Dr. Moreau, which details all the backstage shenanigans that went on, and how Richard Stanley, who basically co-wrote the script, was going to push off his own production, and how maniacal and just bashing insane Marlon Brando was, how egotistical Val Kilmer was, and so on. I can't recommend it enough. I feel like everyone has to see the 896 Island of Dr. Moreau if you really want to see one of the most batshit things ever put to celluloid. But honestly, the documentary, Richard Stanley's Lost Souls, must see, okay? What I'm going to talk about today, however, is not those films, but another quasi-adaptation of Island of Dr. Moreau. This comes from the Italians, who, of course, will always latch onto something. And this is 1979's The Island of the Fishmen.
Interesting. Yeah. So we have an aquatic-themed Crap of the Week this week.
Okay, good. I don't know what you're going to talk about.
Yeah. I got a creature feature, underwater creature feature as well. So let's hear it.
So this is a cross of The Island of Dr. Moreau with The Creature from the Black Lagoon. This was directed by Sergio Martino, who directed a number of giallos, including Torso, the wonderfully titled Your Vice is a Locked Room and Only I Have the Key, but is probably most notorious for directing Mountain of the Cannibal God, right? Mm-hmm. The one with Ruslan Andrews and Stacey Keach. Now, he directed that 1 year prior to this movie. This movie could not be more different than Mountain of the Cannibal Gods. Mountain of the Cannibal Gods is sleazy, it's reprehensible, it's nihilistic. We talked about it on a previous podcast. This one is almost like a kid's movie with, you know, there's just a little tiny bit of animal cruelty where they sacrifice a chicken in a voodoo ritual. But other than that, it's pretty tame. It's got a very interesting cast. You have Barbara Bach, who is a former Bond girl. I believe she was in For Your Eyes Only. Hmm. Now she's best known as Mrs. Ringo Starr. She's been married to Ringo Starr, yeah, since, I believe, the 70s.
The title makes me laugh because there's a strip joint not far from your place here. For Your Eyes Only.
Even funny because when Mad Magazine did their parody of For Your Eyes Only, they called it For Her Thighs Only.
Gotta love Mad Magazine.
Mm. I'll never forget that, you know. Claudio Castagnoli is in this one, who was also in Mountain of the Cannibal Gods. He was in Fulci's Murder Rock. You got Richard Johnson, who was in The Haunting and Fulci's Zombie. And you've got the great Joseph Cotton. Citizen Kane, The Third Man, The Abominable Dr. Fibes, mm-hmm. and then a gazillion just really shitty exploitation films after that. So as this movie begins, you got a bunch of French soldiers and convicts that are sort of shipwrecked and marooned in the middle of an ocean, in the middle of nowhere. And the boat is attacked by some sort of underwater monster, which kills a couple of them and then sort of pushes the boat onto an island. There's a few survivors. One of them is Lieutenant Claude Rains. He's played by Castagnoli. He's also a doctor.
Claude Rains? That's his actual name?
Sorry.
Like the actor?
Claude Ross.
Oh, okay. That is really some tribute. Who was his second in command, Lon Chaney?
His second in command is a guy by the name of Jose.
Your go-to name for French infantry soldiers.
Yeah. He's also got another one named Francois, and then he's got some other ones who are the convicts, and they basically want to usurp his authority. And they're marooned on this island, and they don't know what to do, so they're looking for food, and then Francois finds a duck, and he wants to grab the duck to kill, but he's beset upon by this giant hand, which comes from underwater, and it mauls him to death, and they find Francois, and they assume an alligator got him. But they also hear a rumbling, and they're like, oh, this island is volcanic. Now, more wandering, of course, and they hear the neigh of a horse. Okay? So they're thinking, well, hey, there's horses on this island? There's got to be people, right? Eventually, they're down to three of the party, and they come across a tribal village with a very large cemetery. They have not seen any other signs of inhabitants, but they see this tribal village, large cemetery. Jose, of course, is very fearful. He feels it's cursed. He feels, oh, it contains zombies, etc. But then a lady on a horse arrives, and this is Barbara Bach, right? Mm. And she informs, her character's name is Amanda, and she informs them that the island belongs to one Edward Rackham, okay? And they best be going. But they don't heed those warnings. They want to investigate further. So eventually they meet Edward Rackham, and he is played by Richard Johnson, and he's sort of like, he's kind of like your Moreau figure, but kind of not. There's almost like two Moreau figures, okay? And he has a bunch of, like, tribesmen that are like his servants slash slaves.
So he's like a Kurtz kind of figure. He's gone to some wayward place, and he has natives serving him.
Well, because, he basically at one point says, it's his island, right? And he goes, and he speaks in the most overwrought southern accent, my island of this is my slave Shakira, who comes from the island of Haiti. He's just really on Haiti. This really overwrought southern accent. He says, he's resentful of civilized society and imposing laws on
Shakira
him.
Shakira is her name?
Her name is Shakira.
Her hips don't lie.
Yeah, although in this movie I saw her hips lying once or twice. But for want of a polygraph test, I don't know. But anyway. Yeah, so I mean, he's obviously on this island. He's resentful of quote unquote civilized society imposing laws on him, and he's the absolute master on this island, and he is the law. Amanda, you think is his wife, but really she's not. I mean, she's just there as his prisoner, and she has a hots for the lieutenant, and he says, well, I can't have your love, blah, 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 but you're my prisoner, and, you know, there's a reason why she's there. And the reason why she's there is because her father, and this is Dr. Martin, played by Joseph Cotton, is the one that's doing these weird hybrid experiments on these men and turning them into these like, weird hybrid men fish, okay? And he's sort of ill, okay? So, but he has to, you know, he's doing this in the interest of science. He wants to create a new species of humanity that can survive underwater when, you know, the Earth is overpopulated, and then we can just march into the sea. And
hey, if you are marooned and you know, lost at sea, you might as well develop a species that can survive underwater. That's great, you know.
No, but this is the
well, it's a little late for the guys who are, you know, lost, but still.
Well, yeah, but this is Joseph Cotton.
Yeah,
he's,
yeah,
being held against his will. His daughter is, you know, the prisoner of they're both prisoners of Edward Rackham. So he feels that Rackham is almost like his benefactor, you know, for the good of science. No, the reason why Edward Rackham wants to create these fish people is because this island is actually on top of the lost city of Atlantis.
Oh, naturally.
And underneath the lost city is lots and lots of treasure. Mm. Okay? So Castanelli's character, Lieutenant, he's a doctor. The father's ailing. He is told by Rackham that he's got to keep this guy alive. And in doing so, I mean, you get this always in every James Bond film where, you know, he reveals his entire scheme. They go down this ridiculous mechanism underneath of the water. He shows them the lost city of Atlantis. And he says, yes, there's all this treasure here. And if you help me, then you'll get some of this booty here. And of course, Castanelli's like, this is godless. How can you be doing this? Blah, 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 blah. He then does some more research. He finds out that Dr. Marvin, Joseph Cotton, was shunned by the medical community at large because he was, you know, operating on trying to create this new species. He finds his second-in-command, Jose, who is basically in the midst of a transformation. And ultimately, you know where this film is going, right? What happens to the island of Dr. Moreau? The creatures turn on the master, right? They turn on Moreau, and that's what happens in this one. The fish people, who really just look like giant walking sardines, end up turning on Rackham. But Amanda, they have like a bit of a kinship with, because she feeds him this like weird potion that just looks like it's like some sort of like shea butter, body cream, or something. Mm. Anyway, it's neither here nor there. They help Amanda and Lieutenant Claude Rains, no, Claude Ross, get off the island safely. And it's a goofy film, very goofy. Really bizarre to consider that this was made very shortly thereafter, after Mount of the Cannibal Gods, because as I said before, that movie is vile. This one, like I said before, is almost something you would see on a Saturday matinee. There really is no gore, just a little bit of blood. Mm. No nudity, with the exception of the scene where, you know, Shakira is doing a voodoo ceremony and cuts the head off a chicken, and they sort of do a bit of bloodletting. There's really no gore to speak of. It's not a great movie. It's a good little time waster. I'm going to give it 2.5 stars. It is crap.
Yeah, middling crap.
Middling
yeah.
crap.
And I guess Marlon Brando, later in life, actually did buy an island, I guess, in the South Pacific somewhere, and became just a complete recluse, never to be seen from again. So maybe the island of Moro was left an indelible mark on the fat man. And you would definitely recommend the island of Dr. Moreau.
Well, okay, so, I mean, the island of Dr. Moreau, again, one of the most bashful movies you'll ever see.
It might have put the final nail in Val Kilmer's coffin, career-wise.
It was fucking crazy. Richard Stanley, who was an incredibly talented, he was a young visionary horror director. I mean, this is a guy who directed like Hardware, Dust Devils. He was on the rise, right? The way Val Kilmer treated this poor guy, he was just coming off like, I don't know, Batman Forever or something. Yeah. His ego was so fucking big. At one point in the documentary Lost Souls, Richard Stanley's making of The Dial of Dr. Moreau, Kilmer says to Stanley, when Stanley wants to give him some direction, he goes, look, I'm the actor. Actors are in front of the camera. You're the director. Directors are behind the camera. Get the fuck behind there. Don't talk to me.
Ouch.
they're saying that Kilmer and Brando would have this sort of like egotistical game of chicken where one would not come out of the trailer until the other one did. So they'd be in the trailer all day wasting film. Marlon Brando would be talking with a German actor on set in gibberish and be like, blah, 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 and the German actor's like, I'm sorry, Mr. Brando, I don't understand you. And obviously you don't speak German.
Well,
just fucking insane. I want to do a podcast in the future of The Island of Dr. Moreau from 1986 with the documentary and just talk about this complete debacle of cinematic history. It's unbelievable. However, the movie I'm talking about now is Island of the Fishmen by Sergio Martino. Worth a rental. Don't expect your mind to be blown.
That's amazing. When we prepare these things, we have no idea frequently what the other is going to be talking about. Mm-hmm. So who would have thought that the underlying theme between these two movies would be aquatic, hybrid, fishmen, Italian horrors? But that's the exact theme of the movie I'm going to talk about, the 1990s creature feature known as Creatures from the Abyss, a.k.a. Plankton. And... this one features your typical, I had just seen, what is it, Bloody New Year, a film in which a bunch of people go out on a sailboat and then they become marooned, end up on an island, and things go bad. In this one,
what does that do with New Year?
Not much. I got into that on the site. You can read a review of it there. But
you posted it like on New Year's.
Not a New Year's film, but it's these people become marooned on an island with an abandoned hotel that is permanently New Year's themed. But again, it's not a New Year's film. This one has five people who go out in a dinghy to, you know, have a motorized, I guess, dinghy. They go out to have some fun.
Maybe it's a six-year-old to me, but I always find that word hilarious. I don't know why.
It's like maybe, Chuck Berry's My Ding-a-Ling.
Yeah,
it's a dinghy. It's a bit like dingy. It's silly, yeah. Ingy, sing-songy. And these five people go out, and they run into trouble because they run out of gas, which is stupid. And they're left in the middle of the deep, dark ocean bailing water, trying to survive. A body washes up to them, and they see it's been eaten by fish, and they say, don't touch it, don't touch it. They look off in the distance, and there's a ship from the source of this body, presumably. And so they frantically paddle with their hands toward the ship, paddle, paddle, paddle. They decide they're going to board her. And the ship is part of the Oceanographic Research Institute. So it's a research vessel. And a la, Jacques Cousteau, or the Bill Murray movie, a tribute to Jacques Cousteau.
The Life
Aquatic. And so they get on board, and they find out that it's an abandoned ship. It's a ghost ship.
I'm sorry to interrupt you yet again, but you said board her, and I've always wondered why...
It's not a sexual euphemism.
No, I understand, but I've always wondered why...
Why a ship is a her?
Oh, why ships are always feminized.
I guess because
cars and ships, they're always feminized.
Yeah, I guess cars not so much as ships, but yeah, maybe jets as well. But probably not as, I don't know.
Yeah.
Do we want to go down that road? Because they're sleek.
They're sexy. I don't know.
They're buoyant? No, never mind. I have no idea. They board the ship, and ostensibly, their lives are saved because they were left to just drift indefinitely into the middle of the ocean as their dinghy is about to sink. So they're saved. They're on this boat.
So they're boarding her, the dinghy's sinking.
And they're on the ship, and they're like, great. They start wandering around, and they find there's no one on the ship. So they're looking, and they start looking into the cabins. And the cabins are really bizarre. They're really pastel. They're pink and blue, and it's almost like some fancy bar you might see in Milan, or like the mise en scène of a Argento movie. Mm. They're really beautiful, and there's really odd decor. There's a blinking fish with one eye, like a cyclops fish that blinks and speaks.
Is it like one of those singing fishes that were really popular for 3 weeks and what happens fishes?
You know? There's a famous scene in The Sopranos, I don't know if you're a fan of that, where Tony Soprano beats one of his henchmen with a singing fish. It's just a great...
You would press the button, and then it would move. It would start singing like, there's a little song I wrote, don't worry. I never bought one of those, man.
No, neither did I. Then again, we don't have basements with billiard tables and the dartboards.
And so, of course, like neon signs,
So yeah, they find they're on this they're on the ship, and it's got all these amenities, and the people who'd been on board had abandoned it very, very hastily. Yeah, so they have all this fresh food in the fridge, and there's all this stuff. So they initially think, oh, this is great. They eat their fill and they indulge because it's a fully stocked bar. Mm-hmm. But then they soon realize they're really adrift on this vessel going nowhere. So they've just substituted one problem, nearly drowning in this dinghy, for another, being lost at sea and with no radio power. And as they further investigate the bowels of the ship, they find nefarious experiments have been taking place on board, of course, with sort of prehistoric looking fish that are bathed in a special sort of embalming type fluid. Mm-hmm. And they do find out that there's a researcher on board. So there is actually an inhabitant there, and he's cowering in the dark, and they find him, and he's just a mess. He's shaking. They carry him up to one of the cabins, lay him down on the couch, and he's frothing at the mouth. He has been involved again in these experiments that fuse fish DNA with human.
This is weird. It's like a total companion.
It's complementary. Like, complement with an E.
Really bizarre. But anyway.
And yeah, they find, I guess, that there's radioactive fish were radioactively contaminated, and they became super fish.
Always a radioactive.
And this has really, really exploitative elements. So there's a scene where, again, this place is fully stocked with booze, food, everything. The people who were the previous inhabitants have gone. All their clothes are there. Mm-hmm. And the castaways on this dinghy, they're lost at sea. They go on and try on these people's clothes. And there's various scenes where the women in this group, I think there's three men and two women, they just doff their clothes. And one of them starts playing with their tits, saying, I think it's time to buy a new bra, and shaking them up and down, like holding them in both hands, and it's just right out of the blue. Nice. Now, in addition to the talking fish on the wall, there's a talking shower, like a kind of a voice-activated shower a la Siri, like from Apple. And it gives you instruction on how to shower and how to lather up and what you should be doing with your soap. And also, it's so wild. And it offers like lascivious instructions on how to play with oneself. And I did not see that one coming. And again, there's weird shots of cellular organisms. And lightning strikes that are quick cuts. So you saw that in the beginning when they're just in the dinghy, and when they're getting on the ship, it's almost like an H.P. Lovecraft movie. There's like lightning strikes, cellular organisms, and there's POV shots from the fish. So that are in the lab, and you see this fisheye lens, which is used. I don't know if this is an elaborate in-joke, or it's like a circle, and it's the fisheye, at it. And yeah, so I did not know what to make of this thing, but there's a line in it, and this is a spoiler, where one of the guys has been having unlawful carnal relations with the fish and creating like a hybrid killer fish human subspecies. And again, this is just so wild. It has to be seen to be believed. It's off the charts insane. The director has multiple names because he's Italian. It is terrible dubbing. There's a Demons-esque score. The guy's name is, I think, Al Passeri, which sounds like some sort of Italian
deli
or something.
It's like a first course at Italian banquet, Let's get a plate of Al Passeri, before we get into the gabagoo,
I think his real name is like Massimo Cerchi, or he's got a whole bunch of aliases. The thing was filmed in Miami, but little hints of everything from Argento to Humanoids from the Deep to The Abyss to The Thing to The Blob to a waterlogged aquatic fish horror. And there's an element where the plankton is also radioactively activated and contaminated, and that comes into prominence later. But just a wild fish fucking cross species aquatic nightmare. It's unbelievably good.
Yeah, I mean the fish human hybrids in my movies sort of remind me of Humanoids from the Deep as well,
which is one of our favorites.
Yeah, indeed,
and really exploitative as well.
Oh, for sure, and it's also just a really good film too. I mean, it's one of from the Corman Factory, one of his best. But I thought that my movie was kind of wonky and weird and whatever, but your movie just
I was texting you saying you have to see this ASAP. I caught, I guess, a reviewer online said it was just mesmerizing and captivating from one scene to the next, because sorry to have to spoil it, but again, 4-star for me, this one, because this is just a mental creature feature with. And I'm not even getting into the sexual escapades that happen later on and some of the grotesque puking scenes in it. But this thing really is, again, Lovecraftian, weird, Italian, giallo, Argento. It has every possible movie as its influence, which some of our favorites do, Reanimators and what have you. It's unbelievable. 4-star for me.
And this one's called again?
Creatures from the Abyss. And don't let the IMDb poster fool you. It's AKA Plankton.
Okay.
And it's just like a woman in bikini or something. It looks just schlock, direct to video. Came out in the 90s. Highly, highly recommended. You will not see anything like it.
And the director was?
Again, the Pusateri's. That's a supermarket chain in Toronto.
Yeah, exactly.
Passeri or Cerchi, or he has a bunch of different names.
Has he done anything else of note?
He has, none of which I can remember.
Okay.
I will definitely be investigating it further.
Because this sounds right up my alley, man. Mm-hmm. Like, totally batshit insane. Wow. Amazing. No, I think it's quite hilarious that we independently selected these movies, and yet they're both companions.
Yeah.
You know, both in these underwater,
double
aquatic
feature.
Hybrid fish human. Mine doesn't feature any sort of coitus with
with fish coitus.
Yeah, underwater species. Yours does, and I think that puts yours above mine. But hey, man, good stuff.
Hey, we apparently all evolved from the water over the course of millions of years, and now we're maybe going back to it by conjoining with our fish brethren. Anyway, I don't want to go too much involved in that, but
I don't know. I'm just getting a real taste for sushi right now. like ordering in some raw fish and rice.
And if you like that kind of bad taste, then you'll like our website, www.reallyawfulmovies.com, part of the Crypt TV family. If you have any suggestions for crap of the week you'd like to shoot us, that'd be fantastic. reallyawfulmovies@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, awful_movies. New episodes every weekend, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you.